Today on Hardwired.
You got to be in the Bible every day. You can't not be in the Bible every day. You need the manna of God's word every day. You need to pray every day and be in the word of God every day. That is a non-negotiable. And as we get into the word of God every day, it instructs us and helps us to do what we're being called to do every day.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it at our website, hardwired.org. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up in today's edition of Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for joining us. As we're approaching the last two chapters of the amazing book of Romans, in chapter 15, Paul is going to continue his focus from chapter 14 on the weaker brother and what it means for the church to walk in love and in patience with everybody. He's going to encourage us to bear one another's burdens and to receive in Christ those who may be, well, very different from us. Again, Paul is teaching practical Christian living and how to walk out our Christian faith. So let's jump right into today's message, Bear One Another's Burden.
We're going to be dealing with chapter 15 and bearing one another's burdens. So I hope you're ready to roll and get into this great word. I'll tell you, I love Romans. I read just recently that Chrysostom, who was one of the first century Christian luminaries way back in time, had Romans read to him twice a week. And so why? Because Romans is so rich. So he had it read to him twice a week. So we're going through the book of Romans. It's been a very enriching study, and I'm so thankful that you're here with me again tonight. So let's just dig right in. Last time we looked at the principle of the weaker brother. And above all else, we saw that stronger believers are supposed to bear with the weaker believers, not lose patience with them, not, you know, drive them out of the church by preaching at them or treating them less than. And we should never place a cause of stumbling in their path. And that was the message of chapter 14. Don't let your liberty as an older believer cause a weaker brother, a younger believer, to stumble, okay? Now, in chapter 15, Paul is continuing with the same thing. He's teaching us how to one another, how to fellowship, how to do church, how church is to be conducted, how we're to handle one another, treat one another, right? We need to hear this. This is very practical instruction. So in chapter 15, he's going to take us to even higher ground as far as how we treat one another. It's a great thing to treat a weaker brother in love, and we should. But it's greater still, a higher level still, to treat him in the Spirit of Christ. Not just the Spirit of love, but the Spirit of Christ. And let me tell you what the difference is. The Spirit of Christ demands that we take the hard road, all right? Now, what's the hard road? Well, first of all, it's the cross demonstrating road. The road where we demonstrate living a crucified life in front of the weaker brother, all right? He says in verse 1 and 2, we who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not just to please ourselves. Now, there's the hang right there, because our generation, we're all about pleasing ourselves, right? Our culture, all about pleasing yourself. As the old saying goes, you're number one. You know, you are numero uno. Take care of number one. We are taught as little bitty kids that we're number one and anybody else is secondary. We got to take care of ourselves. But that is not Christian teaching. That's cultural teaching. Christian teaching, he's number one. And Paul even went so far as to say, esteem others better than yourself, all right? He goes into all kinds of realms and areas and ideas foreign to our culture, our number one culture, that you're the number one. No, And that's what he says, not to please ourselves. Each of us should instead please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. So selfishness doesn't have any place in the Christian life. Nope. Paul is not stating that we should give in to the weaker brother's desires. Let's be clear about that. If he's struggling with alcohol, struggling with drugs, struggling with immorality, he's not saying give in to those desires, do those things with them. But we're to act in a way that'll be of lasting benefit to them. We are to help him carry the cross of his weakness. We're to help him win his battles. We're to help him in the hour of temptation. We're to help him make it to the other side. Not do what they do, but help carry them where they need to go. That's the idea. He says, carry them along. We are to build them up. We're to carry along. We're to bear their burdens, as one might help lift something too heavy for another to carry alone. Now, I think most of us here tonight could easily say that there have been things that I've struggled with that I could not win the battle alone. Some habit, some addiction, some weakness. We've all got something we struggle with particularly hard. And there are times we've had to say, please pray for me. I'm leaning on your brother, leaning on your sister. I cannot do this alone. And we've helped them carry it. That's the idea. To bear means to help carry along. Now, verse 3 says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. In other words, what's hitting you is hitting me. What's making you hurt is making me hurt. And that's the body of Christ. This is the ministry of the body of Christ to one another. The Lord Jesus lived to serve God vertically and to serve and help men horizontally. And I have always contended, you really can't serve God vertically without serving men horizontally, because God is all about loving people. So if you're going to love him and walk with him, he's going to have you helping others in the blink of an eye. All right? So that's the idea. He died not just for the strong, but for the feeble, for the faltering, for the struggling. He always went out of his way to bear someone else's burden. He always went the second mile. And that's what Jesus taught us to do in the Sermon on the Mount. If somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go with him too. If he asks you to, carry something a certain distance, carry it double that distance, all right? He was patient. Think about this. He was patient with Peter when Peter blundered, all right? He helped him carry that blunder. He forgave him. You remember that moment at the fish fry after he had risen from the dead in the early morning hours, asking Peter 3 times, do you love me? And Peter saying 3 times, yes. And Jesus re-establishing relationship with him. He helped him carry his blunder, all right? His denial of Jesus. He was patient with James and John when they got in the flesh and said, hey, do you want us to call fire down from heaven on the people of Samaria who haven't let you come into the town? And Jesus patiently bore with them. And Thomas, he bore with him when he doubted. And even, yes, even Judas. When the blood money jingled in his purse, Jesus bore patiently with Judas. Romans 15 not only directs us to the cross demonstrating road, but also to the character building road. The apostle turns our attention to the Old Testament, pointing out its permanent value. There are some that teach today the Old Testament doesn't matter. They don't know what they're talking about, because the Old Testament is full of truth for us today. Now, we go back to the Old Testament. Paul often quotes from the Old Testament. It should be read and studied because he points to it as a character building road. Look at verse 4. For everything that was written in the past, the Old Testament writings, was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So do we find the road of following Jesus difficult? This character building road of shouldering the weaknesses of others, is it hard? Are we apt to lose patience with the weaker brother and his scruples? Yes, we are. Yes to all these things. Well, Paul says the antidote is the word of God. We must delve into the scriptures regularly to see how God helped others over the hard places. And as we see how he helped them, their story helps us. And you know me, I'm a broken record with our congregation. You got to be in the Bible every day. You can't not be in the Bible every day. You need the manna of God's word every day. You need to pray every day and be in the word of God every day. That is a non-negotiable, all right? And as we get into the word of God every day, it instructs us and helps us to do what we're being called to do on the hard road. The hard road. The road of walking like Christ walked. Paul said that we should not only take the hard road, but we should take the high road as well. Verse 5, may the God of patience and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. God is the God of patience, Paul says. And that same characteristic is to be among his children. As our God is patient, we're to be patient. The qualities that make for harmony in the local fellowship of believers are to be found in the character of God himself, who is patient with us, long-suffering with us, merciful towards us, forgiving towards us. And as he treats us, we're to treat one another. So the high road leads to rejoicing with other believers, which leads to corporate joy and happiness. Verse 6, so that with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, then too, the high road leads to the receiving of other believers. Catch this. And consequently, hospitality in the local church. Verse 7, accept one another. Why should I accept one another, even if they're different from me? Because Christ accepted you. I guarantee you, you and I were different from him, all right? In order to bring praise to God. So it brings praise to God when we accept one another, receive one another, no matter our differences.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So then Paul's point has literally come full circle. He began by telling us that God has received the weaker brother. God received him. He finishes by reminding us that Christ has received us. With all of our foibles, all of our failures, weaknesses, wickednesses, idiosyncrasies, oddities, with all our defeats of character, all of our spiritual infirmities, he has received us. So must we do the same with the failings and faults of others. Now, please, church, and I'm talking to myself here. We've got to remember these things. You know how many people are not in church on any given Sunday morning because of the way they were treated when they visited some church somewhere, and maybe they had blue hair, pink hair, covered in tattoos, dressed in blue jeans or whatever, nose rings, earrings. You know, maybe they look very, very different from what we might consider a pretty standard churchgoer. And when they walked in, they were looked at that way. And they didn't feel, you know what? They didn't feel accepted. They didn't feel received. And so they said, you know, if this is the local church, then I believe I'll just go to church at home. Because if this is the way I'm going to be treated, just because I'm not like them, then I'm just not going to go to church. And I have been treated that way in my early days as a believer, when I had long hair and I was a freshly saved hippie, if you will. I went into a very traditional denominational church one Sunday when I was trying to get into church, and I was looked at just that way. And you know what? I didn't even sit through the sermon because of the way I was being looked at and the way I was being treated at a distance. No greeting, no hello, no welcome, just looks. All right? You know, you're not one of us. And I left. And thank God the Jesus movement happened. And I found meetings where people that looked like me were going and were welcome. And I found a place to plug in. But Paul is saying, don't do that, but receive people that are different from you. Receive people from all walks of life. Don't be uppity. Don't be condescending. Don't look down on people because they're not like you. Because at the cross, we're all equal, all right? That's the idea. And since he received us, weird as we were, some of us, when we got saved, we're to receive others. That's the idea. That's how you do local church. Now, next, Paul brings the main body of his letter to the Romans to a close. First, he's going to reiterate that Christ became a servant of the Jews to demonstrate the truthfulness of God. Verse 8, for I say that Christ has become a servant to the Jew on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers. What a great thought. How many things we ought to do. How many ways we ought to act, all right? On behalf of God's truth, on behalf of his truth. He then confirmed the promises, that is, Jesus confirmed the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by fulfilling them. Now even the Gentiles can glorify God for the mercy that Jesus has shown them. In support of this, Paul quotes four Old Testament scriptures. Let's read them. Verse 9, he's reading Psalms 18, verse 49. And for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Amen. Now, most of us right now in this room are Gentiles, and it was God's plan all along that we would be brought to the cross of Christ and into the covenants of God and be saved, and it brought glory to God, and that's why Jesus did what he did on behalf of the truth of God in dying for us. Verse 10, again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. That's Moses, Deuteronomy 32, 43. Then again in the Psalms, 117, verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Finally, Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 10. There shall come the root of Jesse, or out of the root of Jesse, he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, and in him the Gentiles shall hope. Amen. Aren't you glad that we as Gentiles hope in him now? That we know we're going to heaven, we know we have eternal life. Glory to God. In a nutshell, God's redemptive plan was that through his son, born a Jew, and as to his human nature, that he might reach out in reconciling love to those of every nation. And again, remember, as I've taught you, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. If you're not a descendant of Abraham by birth, then you're a Gentile. And thank God, we Gentiles can praise the Lord through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and enter into his great plan of salvation. Amen. Now, next, Paul points out that the ministry of the Lord Jesus is preserved in us through hope and joy and peace. Look at verse 13. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, God is the God of patience in verse 5, but look what he is in verse 13. He's the God of hope. Our God is love. He's the God of patience, and he's the God of hope. Love, patience, and hope flow from God. And there is nothing hopeless about the Christian life. We have blessed assurance, amen? Not just assurance, but it's a blessed assurance. And there's nothing hapless about the Christian life. We have boundless assistance. Now, Paul points out characteristics in the brethren that are worthy of praise. So he's going to start pointing out little character sketches, characteristics that the brethren were walking in, that we ought to be walking into. Verse 14, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. So note, to be a good man is to be the very best kind of man that can be. If you're a good Christian man, that's the very best kind of man you can be. The goodness Paul is praising is the practical goodness manifested in helpfulness towards others, in bearing the burdens, carrying the burdens of the weaker brother in his or her struggles. But they are also diligent students, filled with knowledge. Boy, what a need this is in the church today. The word for knowledge here is the Greek word gnosis, which means to progress in knowledge, not to know everything all at once, but to progress by learning and by effort and by experience, by giving your studies some elbow grease, by intentionally studying, being studious in the scriptures. He's saying these people, these good men and good women, were characterized as being people of the word. They were learning, ever learning, always growing, always grasping more revelation, hammering down more truth, growing in greater knowledge. That's what they were. That's what the Christian life. He's saying this is part and parcel of what the mature believer should look like. He says, these good and knowledgeable men use their gifts to stir the believers up to their responsibilities. They were able to admonish one another, which means to caution or to reprove gently. So you've got a picture here of people growing in grace and in the ever-increasing knowledge of Jesus Christ by learning ever more, ever daily, the Word of God. You ought to know the Word of God better this week than you knew it last week. That's what he's saying. The gift of exhortation possessed by these good men is crucial to the church because Christians and all people have a tendency to settle in your lazy boy and sort of sit soaking sour and stop growing. That's why you need people around you to exhort you, to encourage you. For instance, I can tell you, there's a lot of people have gotten out of the habit of going to church on Sunday mornings because of COVID. COVID happened. Church shut down for a while. They got in the habit of getting up, staying in their pajamas, getting a cup of coffee, flipping on the computer, and I don't know, watching the services online. And they got so in the habit of that that they got out of the habit of going to church. Now, it used to be that because of COVID, they stayed home. But now a lot of them, they're in Walmart, they're at Lowe's, they're at Home Depot, they're going to people's houses, having parties, they're functioning in society, but I can't go to church because of COVID. But see, that doesn't work. Now, some people who have extenuating circumstances, you have reasons that you really shouldn't take any chances at all with COVID, I get it.
Thanks for tuning in today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. You can also connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. It's no secret that our country has had some extreme challenges over the last year or two. People have been going through depression, isolation, emotional pains, disillusionment, and more, and are looking for something to grab a hold of for security. Well, the answer is not in something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. And that's what this program is all about. So here's how you can help us get this message out. Being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. And we believe that these messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, hardwired.org. 877-884-3111 or go to hardwired.org. Thank you for your very generous gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.